It is June the 1st, 2011. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of Gerwick.net. Today I'm welcoming to the website independent sensation, Diva. You may have seen not only in Canada, but also in the United States. She's worked for Shimmer, Jersey All Pro, and she really gets around. If you haven't checked her out, definitely check out Gerwick.net. We have press releases of where Portia Perez may wrestle. She may be in your backyard tomorrow. In fact, she's got some shows coming up that we're going to talk about today. Portia Perez, how you doing, Portia?
I'm good. I like you calling me a sensation.
Absolutely.
I can get used to that sensation. I'm not wrestling in anyone's actual backyard, though, like you said.
Well, yeah, probably not the best idea.
I feel like that would be a step down for me.
Yeah, I definitely would be. And with Gerwick.net, we have a lot of readers that are primarily WWE or TNA fans. We have, I don't know if you ever read the comment boards, but, we've got strong opinions. Some people are very pro WWE. Some people are very pro TNA. And then if you're a WWE, don't bash WWE. And then if you're a TNA fan, don't be a TNA hater, And then, but to a larger degree, Portia Perez's name has been out there, for readers of my website, Gerwick.net, your name pops up in results, Shimmer press releases, and obviously taping results. So to the average fan, and maybe a fan that's never seen you or never heard of you before, who is Portia Perez?
Who is Portia Perez? I think what people need to do, because you said you have mostly WWE and TNA fans.
Right.
You need to picture, the Berserker mixed with Chuck Norris.
Wow.
Mixed with Satan.
Wow, that's
and
a combo.
And then way better.
Wow.
Way better. I don't know how to describe myself. I think that's about as close as it can come.
Well, at least give us some idea from maybe somebody who's never seen you actually in the ring wrestling. What's your style like?
My style, it's very Memphis-based. Like, I'm very influenced by old Memphis wrestling and the Tennessee area and Mid-Atlantic. So it's fairly old school and grounded. I'd like to think fairly exciting still, though. There's a few martial arts things. I used to do karate. There's some martial arts stuff thrown in there, too. So it's not all kicks and punches, I guess.
Are you a big mixed martial arts fan?
No, I hate that stuff. We started our conversation with me saying I hate stuff. It's not so much I hate mixed martial arts, because, it's cool. Just, I can't sit through a whole show of it,
Now, what surprised me is when I talked to you up front, offline, obviously you're Canadian and you don't like hockey, so already you're a little bit unusual to start with, right?
No, well, it's fake. No. it seems fake. I don't know.
It's not a shoot?
It doesn't seem like a shoot. it seems fake. I usually, though, win pools, not even watching the games, just because you can usually pick who's going to win, usually. I say that now, but I'm probably wrong this year.
And also, doesn't like Tim Hortons and doesn't like Molson Canadian beer.
No. Mm. I'm like the anti-Canadian Canadian.
What aspects of Canadian life or Canadian lifestyle that do you embrace?
Well, I like that it's clean here and that we have trees.
Okay.
And because you guys have a lot of, I've driven a lot through the States, and you guys have a lot of, cement in a lot
True.
Of places. You do have trees some places.
A few places, yeah.
Like Vermont, mostly. And then, because I'm a wrestler, I like the free health care bit.
Socialized medicine.
And then I was reading an article today, because I read the newspaper. I like to think of myself as an informed citizen. That, something like 12% of Americans still believe in creationism. And I like that maybe that's not so much in Canada. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, where did you read that from? That's an interesting factoid, huh?
I know. That's my Snapple fact of the day, I think.
Wow.
But, yeah, I had a very frightening person on my last flight in the States telling me that because I don't believe in Jesus, I'm going to hell. just assuming I didn't believe in Jesus. So, like, I like that that would probably never come up in Canada. Although maybe I'm being presumptuous. I don't fly a lot in Canada.
You must embrace the ice and the snow then, right?
No, I hate the ice and the snow.
Oh, well, that, maybe you're just living in the wrong area of the world.
I've yet to find a place where I should be living, though.
Huh.
You know, it's not that much ice and snow, really, because I live in southern Canada.
Okay. Let's see. Let's start from the beginning and talk about starting out in wrestling. Obviously, we'll give you the Wrestling 101 interview question is, you know, where did you start from? Who did you train with? And how did you get interested in this wacky professional wrestling business?
Okay, so I started watching wrestling when I was very little, like 2 or 3. Very little. And it was just, like, always what I wanted to do for some reason. I don't really know why. It was just always what I wanted to do. So then when I was 15, I found a school in Ottawa, which is about an hour or so from here. And I started training when I was 15. And it's pretty much, you know, that's that. The school isn't open anymore, neither is the promotion. So.
15?
Yes. 15.
That's pretty young.
That is pretty young. Maybe a little too young, but I think that's still up in the air. But certainly young to be dealing with some of the crazy stuff in wrestling. But it seems to have worked out for the best, I guess.
I assume you were the youngest one in that class.
Yes, there was another kid who was like the same age, around the same age as me, and we were the two youngest by far. Like a lot younger than everyone else.
Well, who were your heroes, or who were your favorite wrestlers growing up?
Growing up, Owen Hart was my favorite.
Another Canadian?
And, yes, there's my Canadian tie.
There you go.
Hart fan.
That well, we're definitely
Shawn
connected
Michaels.
There.
And 1-2-3 Kid.
Awesome. So, is there any glimpse of any of those characters in your in-ring game?
I'd like to think maybe a little bit of all of them. I especially still study Owen Hart a lot. Like, I just got all of his New Japan footage and everything, so I would say there's probably heavy influences from all three.
Well, I tell you, those are, if you're going to pattern your in-ring style after, you know, great wrestlers, those are three good ones. So.
And, you know, I ended up getting to wrestle X-Pac.
Oh, Sean Waltman. That's
yeah,
great.
Which was awesome yeah. A couple years ago in a mixed tag match. So that was, like, in my mind, the greatest thing ever because he was my favorite.
Did you win?
Did I win? No.
No.
No. I didn't get pinned, though. Raven dropped the ball for our team.
Oh.
I say so.
It's all Raven's fault.
It is all Raven's fault.
Now, obviously, being a women's wrestler, is there women's wrestlers that influence your career or your style?
Well, when I was very little, there weren't a lot of women around.
True.
So I really loved both Alundra Blaze and Bull Nakano.
Okay.
They were two of the very few who were around. When I got a little older, I wasn't a big fan of, like, the whole movement towards, like, diva stuff. But then, so I really liked Molly Holly because she was, I was, like, maybe 13 or so when she came into WWE, and she was a lot more relatable for a girl my age, I guess, and was someone who I could aspire to be like at age 13. And, sorry, go ahead.
I think you should probably give us some time frame. Exactly how old are you right now?
I am 23 right now.
So there you go. So, you know, we're talking when you're 13, you would have been, what, 2000?
Yeah.
Early 2000? So.
Yeah, I'll be 24 this year.
Wow.
So, I guess.
Getting old.
I know. I always forget.
How many years have you been an active wrestler now?
It will be 7 this month.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
20 can turn 24 and already 7 years in the business. Does that seem real or does that seem odd?
it seems odd to me. Like, whenever, both things seem odd. Both 7 years in seems very odd to me, and turning 24 this year seems very odd to me. Because I don't feel either, I don't think.
I got to ask this because obviously you said you started training when you're 15 years old. Mm-hmm. What did your parents think of their young daughter going into the squared circle and training to be an active wrestler?
Well, I mean, obviously they had to sign paperwork, so they weren't totally against it. My mom worried very much and wasn't a huge fan of the idea. But, I mean, like I said, it was like over an hour from here. And at 15, you can't drive yet. So my dad used to take me to training. Like, he was so awesome. Like, I would never be able to be a wrestler right now if it wasn't for him, because he used to take me to training like 2-3 times a week all the way up in Ottawa. So I guess my parents were very supportive of me and still
yeah.
are.
I guess you'd have to be, like you said, you're 15 years old, obviously you got to get their consent, and they're driving you, and so when they see, like, a big welt mark on your body, they don't, like, totally panic, and...
My mom is not cool with, like, the injuries, or, like, anything close to an injury.
So don't get injured, then. That's the simple way to do it.
She's really, like, the one thing she really hates is anything to, like, my face. You know, even if it's just, like, a black eye or something.
Well, you have such a pretty face, you know. You don't want to ruin that.
Yeah, like, the worst, like, she used to always be, like, because I had really straight teeth, and she used to always be, like, don't ever get your teeth broken. You know, that was her one thing. Her, like, you can wrestle as long as you don't get your teeth broken. And in 2007, like, I got my teeth knocked right out.
Ooh.
Like, right out. And I was trying to keep it from her. You know what I mean? Because, like... They were in, but they were not okay. And I tried to keep them from her, and I have them capped now, obviously. But.
So that fits perfectly with Canadians then, right? Is that with hockey players, and sometimes you see them missing a tooth here or there? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing my Canadian look. The best was explaining it, because it was in New York that it happened. And the best was explaining it, like, coming back into Canada. Because, like, it looked like I had just been in some sort of bar fight. And I had to be like, no, I'm a professional wrestler. And, like, someone elbowed me in the face. And, like, it was just this, and it was, like, 2 in the morning or something like that. And, like, just trying to explain it to them, like, was the hardest experience ever.
Now, do they come to your matches and watch you wrestle?
My parents?
Yeah.
My mom went through a phase where she didn't want to come. I don't remember what happened that, like, made her not want to come anymore, where she would only watch it on tape.
So they have the shirts that say Proud Parents of Portia Perez? And
no.
Represent?
Neither of my parents own a Portia Perez shirt.
My grandfather does,
though. My grandfather owns a Portia Perez shirt.
Well, maybe you can buy him one for Christmas or something. You know?
Maybe.
Yeah.
My grandfather is 92 years old and wears his.
With pride.
Yes, with pride.
Absolutely. Now, going back to your little injury there with your tooth, what are some of the other injuries you've suffered in the ring?
My worst one was last year. I hurt my back very badly, and I was out for 3 months from that. That wasn't really, like, one thing, though. It was kind of like my back was hurting for 8 months, and I just sort of, like, kept ignoring it until it hurt, like, more and more and more and more. And then I ended up having to take 3 months off for that.
Now, I mentioned up front, you know, a lot of our GirlWick.net readers are big WWE or TNA fans, or some do like both. But do you get a chance to watch Raw, SmackDown, or TNA Impact?
I do. I don't get Spike TV at my house. I try to watch it when I'm away. Because usually wherever I am, like, I have some people DVR it for me. I try to watch Raw. I'm not home a lot for SmackDown. I tend to miss SmackDown, but I like it when I do catch it.
I was going to say, what do you kind of think of, you're talking about WWE, what do you think of their current product?
Like, I don't feel like I see it consistently enough to have a very good judgment of it. so I'm really, I don't want to cast judgment on it. I've always loved watching Daniel Bryan wrestle, so I'm really glad to see that, like, he and Evan Bourne and some other guys are getting to do their stuff on a bigger stage. That's always really exciting for me to see.
I was going to say, who are your current favorite wrestlers, you know, either in TNA or WWE or even independents anymore, or legends out there?
This is hard. Like, I don't watch a ton of current wrestling. Like, I mostly watch older wrestling.
Good move.
Well, I just figure, like, it's not like current wrestling's bad. It's just, like, someone's obviously already doing that, you know? So why am I going to do it, too, you know? Like, it just seems kind of redundant to be copying stuff that's already being done currently.
Well, you were growing up during, what, the Attitude Era then, right? So, obviously, today's product is much different than, you know, the DX stuff back in the day, Stone Cold, The Rock. So, it's, I mean, some people like today's product, and some people are, you know, not big fans of it.
Yeah, and it's not that I dislike it. I just, like, I do watch it. I just, like, I try to take things from all different places and times. One of my current favorites is Delirious. Like, I've always thought he was really awesome.
Yeah, he's a very good worker.
Yeah, and Claudio Castagnoli and Chris Hero, right. They're both really awesome. I'm a big fan of Yamato and Dragon Gate.
Okay. Speaking of Ring of Honor, have you ever worked with Ring of Honor?
I have.
Okay, there you go.
I did.
I know you do it. Obviously, you did Shimmer, and it kind of, Shimmer and, you know, Ring of Honor kind of work together, so.
Yeah, I did back in 2007, and then I did, I want to say last year, but maybe the year before.
Well, who'd you work there?
When I was there in 2007, I had, first I had a tag match that was myself and Sarah Del Rey against Daisy Hayes and Ariel.
Okay.
And then I also had a four-way with Del Rey, Hayes, and Alicia. And when I did HD Net tapings, I wrestled Sarah Del Rey.
Yeah, we just had Sarah Del Rey on Monday night, so you can definitely check out that interview at www.gerweck.net as well. So this is like a Divas Week for us.
I mean, it is.
Sarah Del Rey and Portia Perez. So that's awesome.
Sarah and I go kind of way back as far as my career goes, because we were in Mexico together in 2006. We were, like, having a little feud down there, so we've wrestled each other a lot.
Yeah, talk about Mexico.
I guess, like, the biggest difference for me going to Mexico was just the environment in the locker room. Like, when I first went, I went for a smaller company. And it's very competitive in the locker room. Not that it's not competitive up here, but it's sort of a different kind of competition. And the other girls there, some of them were very protective of outsiders. And I don't often feel that I was too young to do things, but I was 18 when I went to Mexico, and I very much feel that I was too young to be there at the time. And when I first got there, I was the only foreigner there. And it was very rough. I was very unhappy there at the time. And then Sarah Del Rey came down. She had just gotten back from Japan, I think. And I was very lucky to get to work with her so early in my career, because the matches were very tough, but I learned a lot. So that sort of turned my viewpoint of Mexico around.
Talk about your experiences overseas.
I've wrestled in Europe a lot. Like five or six tours, I guess. I guess it's not a lot, but it seems like a lot. I first went over to England and Ireland back in 2006. I did two tours, and have since been back a few times. I've been to Spain, and I've done some tours of France and Germany. And I was a part of the first wrestling shows ever in Romania and Bulgaria, so that was pretty cool.
Wow.
Eastern Europe was neat. I really like wrestling in Europe. Like, I like the European lifestyle, except for France, maybe. But, like, I like Germany and everything like that. And I like the atmosphere of being on tour and, like, wrestling every day. And, you know, that's just sort of your routine. You know, you get up and you work out and you go wrestle, and that's sort of your whole day.
And, now, as you go to different countries, is there a different perception of women's wrestling compared to Canada and the United States?
I think so. I'm trying to think of all the things I've done. It's strange because, my nature, I've never been really put in the role of, you know, like an eye candy diva. That's never really been what anybody's brought me in for. So I don't know that I'm the best judge of that. Because whenever people bring me somewhere, they're bringing me there as a performer. Just because that's all I really do. So I don't know that I'm the best option. But I've never really had a problem in Europe. They've always been very open-minded about women's wrestling, it seems.
Do you feel there's a kind of a perception here in the United States and Canada that, you know, some men like women's wrestling for the eye candy? Or do you feel that most wrestling fans here in North America like wrestling because they like the physical in-ring style and the athleticism that you bring to the table?
I think there's both. I think there's both for men's wrestling, too, to be honest. Like, I'm sure there's people who watch men's wrestling just to see the dudes, you know?
In their underwears, practically, right? So.
Probably. I mean,
yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, I sometimes think that women's wrestling gets a bad reputation, like an undeserved bad reputation for that, because one bad experience is going to stand out among 99 good experiences. I mean, no one ever remembers, like, all their good flights. They remember the one that got, it was totally delayed and canceled and everything. So, I mean, I think the same goes with wrestling, where, you know, the couple fans who are there for what people perceive as the wrong reasons are going to stand out compared to the majority of the fans who are there taking it seriously.
Yeah, I was actually, before I was talking to you earlier, I was listening to another interview that you had done, and you were talking, I think they were alluding to a wrestling show that, you know, a lot of people would think, oh, because the women's wrestlers are coming in, they're going to get hit on, and yet you were saying that you got hit on more at the airport than you did at the wrestling show.
It's true. Like, you know, there's creepy people everywhere, you
true.
Know? I mean, you hear about things happening everywhere in life. You know, you walk down the street, stuff can happen. I mean, it happens in wrestling, but I don't think it's unique to wrestling. I just think, like I said, I think the few bad things stand out among all the good things. And maybe it's more concentrated because, you know, when you're performing, you kind of put yourself out there, and it makes it easy for people to objectify you as a performer.
Now, going back to international, and of course, you know, I've talked to so many people that, you know, they say, at least if nothing else, if I don't make it to the big time, that, you know, wrestling has allowed me to travel the world. I mean, they pay you. I mean, most of the times they pay for your flights, they pay for the hotel, they pay for your, obviously, wrestling in the ring. So if nothing else, you got a chance to see the world. I mean, you know, a 23-year-old woman is, you know, already traveled the world.
Yeah, and there's sort of two interesting things about that is, like, first of all, like, traveling was always my goal. Like, it's not that I wouldn't want to go to WWE or TNA or that's not a goal of mine. But, of course, I idolize people like Owen Hart, like I said. So my goal getting into wrestling was to go to England and go to Japan and stuff like that and do what he did. So getting to do that was really – that was my goal in wrestling. So while I'd like to go further, I also – like, going to WWE is not necessarily the make-or-break thing of my career. And then also, like, traveling is just my favorite thing in the world. It's something that I would do even if I didn't wrestle. So that I got to pair the two was really awesome.
What are some of the cool cities that you've seen that, you know, obviously if you wouldn't have been wrestling, you probably would never get a chance to see?
I actually spent my 20th birthday in India for wrestling, which was really cool. I think that was probably the coolest place I got to go, was to India. I thought Sofia, Bulgaria was really cool. I really like L.A. also. I know that's totally out of nowhere from the other two I mentioned, but I like Los Angeles. I'm a vegetarian, so I like the California lifestyle. It's a lot easier for me to eat out there.
How do the rings compare, like, when you go internationally? Is it a good venue? Is it a good setup? Is the ring, you know, is it a good wrestling ring? Or have you run into some, you know, less desirable type situations overseas?
It really depends where you are. Because, I mean, there's some places over here where the rings are terrible, too, you know?
Sure.
So I don't remember any really bad ones. I know, like, I used to do I did a tour of the holiday camps for All-Star Wrestling in England, which have been running for a long time. The Brian Dixon's been running. And those rings were stored under a stage, so they were pretty gross. Because, like, you'd wrestle on them, and then you'd put them right back under the stage. And they were pretty small, I remember. Like, maybe only 12 or 14 feet. But they were still okay. They were just a big change from what I was used to.
Is there any countries that you've not yet wrestled in that you do want to get to eventually?
I'd really like to go to Japan. Women's wrestling over there seems to be picking back up. There haven't been a lot of opportunities to go there since I started wrestling. So hopefully that's something I can do.
Now, Portia Perez is not your real name, so how did you adopt that as a ring name?
It's not my real name.
It's not?
What?
What?
I don't know.
Is that your real name?
Obviously. That's what people call me.
Really? Okay. Is that a shoot?
Everything. I don't know. The name Portia comes from Shakespeare. I would like to encourage wrestling fans to read Shakespeare if I could.
Why is that?
I think wrestling needs to get a classier reputation.
How do we do that?
Read Shakespeare. Maybe people should start wearing suits, too.
You know, I think that... Do they do that in some countries, don't they? They kind of dress up for the events?
I've heard this. I've never really seen it.
Okay.
Or, like, I'm drinking a tea right now. Maybe people should start drinking tea at wrestling shows. Maybe people should start serving tea at wrestling shows.
Instead of alcohol.
There you go.
Instead of beer at an event, drink some tea.
That's what I drink instead of beer, is tea.
A little culture, right?
See? We need to class this thing up.
Or lemonade. Is that all right?
Lemonade?
See, I'm not a big tea drinker, so,
really?
You know. Yeah. Diet Pepsi, maybe.
Pepsi. The first time I ever went to, like, the deep south, like Alabama, I didn't know that, like, it's not popular to drink hot tea down there. You know, like, you ask for tea in the south and they bring you sweet tea.
Well, see where I live, it's pop, but you go down south, it's soda. So you got to remember, it's soda. Of course, you don't drink pop or soda, so it doesn't really make difference.
No, I don't. I'm pretty exclusive to tea and water.
Tea and water. Okay, well, I can relate to the water, but never gotten into tea.
You know what one of my biggest pet peeves in life is?
Uh-oh.
Is people who think you can drink tea out of a ceramic coffee mug. It's like, it's not the same. You need a China teacup. See what I mean about needing to class this thing up?
I guess so. I guess I've never thought of it that way, but...
It doesn't taste the same. It's not the same thing.
Iced tea or
No, hot tea.
Hot tea. You don't like iced tea?
I don't like iced tea.
You don't like iced tea, okay.
Well, I can't say that. I haven't really given it. It's not the same to me. I don't not like it. It's not the same to me.
So in reading your Twitter page here, I take it you're not a big fan of Alice in Danger.
No.
Why is that? She's so lovable and...
Really?
Cute? Yeah.
Think so?
Well, I mean, we've talked to her in the past. She's
really?
Yeah, no problem with Allison, right?
Let me tell you something about Allison Danger.
Please do.
She used to be on commentary on Shimmer, on Shimmer shows. Now I am. Big step up.
Wow.
Big step up. But she used to always make fun of me on commentary.
Now, why would she do that?
She claimed, like, she used to make fun of me for being young. I've never heard of this. Like, I've heard of making fun of people for being too old, you know?
So jealousy.
That's what I think.
Hmm.
So then this one time, like, let me tell you. This one time I finally got sick of it because she claimed that, like, she was the best Canadian. Like, you're only half Canadian. That's not the same. So my tag team partner and I, Nicole Matthews, were the Canadian Ninjas. We challenged her to a tag team match. And I might have broken Allison Danger's shoulder. But it was only half on purpose.
And accidentally then, on purpose.
Accidentally on purpose. That's a good
right.
way of saying it.
Yeah, there you go.
And then, the next time I saw her, she was pregnant. And
so
I
she's ducking you. She probably used that as to duck you, I would think, right?
I get a lot of flack for this, because I really think she was ducking me. I get a lot of flack from this, but, like, I tried to spear her, although people stopped me. And I kind of have issue with those people, too. But people stopped me, and then when she came back, like, she all... you know, hit me with stuff and everything. It didn't really go too well.
Hmm. So there's a little bit of a feud here brewing, I would say.
I still think she was ducking me. Like, she has a kid now, but I think she stole it from somebody.
So the 9-month pregnancy was a work?
I think so. I think she just didn't want to face me.
Interesting. I never thought of it that way, but... Well, maybe Allison's listening and she'll want to respond.
Maybe.
You know, we've talked to Allison before, so, you know, we'll throw that out there. So if Allison's listening or the fans of Allison, pass on the word, you know. This is a very interesting conversation, so you have to take note. So you're on commentary now.
I am.
How did that happen?
Well, Allison Danger said she was pregnant. So I text messaged David Prazak. I'm really bad at talking on the phone.
Really?
You probably picked up on that. So I text messaged Dave Prazak, and I was like, I want to do commentary now. And that's exactly how that happened.
I think you're selling yourself short on talking on the phone. I think you're doing great on the phone here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm playing with Ninja Turtles action figures.
As we speak?
Yes.
Wow.
I have Half Court Giraffe here, if anyone knows who that is.
Talking with ninjas during an interview with me, that's got to be a first.
You don't know that. You should ask everyone you've interviewed.
True. And like I said, I've met very few Canadians that don't like, you know, hockey and Tim Hortons and, you know, Canadian beer, too. So you're a very special person.
I'd like to think so.
Definitely. Well, let's go back to you. You were talking about goals, and obviously – you've been in this business for, 7 years now, and you've, you know, you wrestled internationally. You've gotten the goal of, you know, traveling the world, and it would seem like the natural progression now would be eventually getting to TNA or WWE. Have you felt out, you know, made any conversations with them, or have they called you, been offered a tryout, or is there any mutual interest, I would say, at this point?
You know, I had a TNA tryout back in 2008, which seems like a long time ago now, although I guess
it does, yeah.
Well,
time flies.
Yeah. And at the time, I wasn't what they were looking for, which is fair. I haven't talked to them that much since. A little bit here and there. It seems like they have they're changing things up a little bit right now, so I haven't been talking to them too much. I have never pursued WWE. Not because I don't want to. To be honest, like, I know they want their women under 25, but as I sit here playing with Ninja Turtles action figures, I've never really felt like I was mature enough for that environment.
Well, I think this is a time to come up with WWE, because if you would have been old enough in, 1998, 1999, they would have been bra and panties type matches. So, you know,
totally. You know, I had my very first evening gown match a couple weeks ago.
Now, who is this with?
Maybe I am ready to go to WWE.
I don't know. They don't do that stuff anymore.
I know. It's so, I don't know. This was a...
Somebody's been reading Shakespeare. Must be. You know, they've progressed. A little more classy now. We don't do bra and panties anymore.
Maybe they are working their way out. My evening gown match was a six-woman evening gown scramble.
Wow.
I know.
Was this book by Vince Russo?
No.
Sounds like it.
It was Texas for Anarchy. It was in Texas for Anarchy Championship Wrestling in
okay.
Austin. It was myself against Sarah Del Rey, against Rachel Summerlin,
okay.
Jessica James, Athena, and Amanda Fox.
Wow. And did you win?
I did not.
Oh, who came out on that
close.
One?
I was one of the last two. I was so close.
Who took that one?
Rachel Summerlin won that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite the upset.
I think so. I'm quite upset about it myself.
So going back to your TNA trout in 2008, who did you work with, and you know, what did they tell you at that point as far as you know what they how they evaluated you?
I wrestled Angelina Love.
Okay.
And at the time, they were looking for someone to replace Gail Kim. Gail Kim had just left or was leaving. I don't remember. And I was just not that person. They were looking for someone. This is what I was told. They were looking for someone to fill a specific role that I didn't fit. And I actually think that's fair because I think looking back on it, I was not ready for TV at the time. And also, I was just coming off an injury that was worse looking back on it than I gave it credit for at the time. So I definitely think I needed some time off as opposed to maybe getting signed at that time and wrestling a harder schedule.
Well, I always like to ask this question. At this point in your career, what do you consider your biggest strength and what do you consider your biggest weakness?
My biggest strength. I think my biggest strength is just that I'm a fairly strong character. I don't know if that's coming across well.
You're a ninja, right? That's a pretty strong character.
I like to think so.
Yeah.
So, you know, that carries me quite a ways. I'd like to think that sometimes I'm moderately entertaining to people. Maybe not, though. My biggest weakness, I think, is just I'm a little bit OCD about things. That's sort of my backstory for my weakness. And it's like if even one tiny thing is wrong with, like, a match or a promo, I hate it. So of my whole career, I probably have three matches that I think are decent. You know?
Wow. Yeah.
Of, like, probably over 400 matches. So that's not good. Just on the bit. And it's not even like, oh, that wasn't very good. It's like me, like, being really depressed about it and getting very down on everything. You know?
That's not a good 3 out of 400. That's not a very good percentage.
Maybe I'm exaggerating. But, you know, like...
Maybe you're a little too critical of yourself, maybe, you know?
That is my biggest weakness, I believe. My expectations are too high, but not just for myself.
Well, I'm just curious, when you said, like, three what are those matches that kind of stick out as your best work?
I will say we had a six-woman elimination tag down in Texas in December, and they actually let us main event a men's show, which I thought was really cool.
Wow. That's awesome.
And it was me and Athena and Amanda Fox against Rachel Summerlin, Jessica James, and Serena Deeb. And it was probably the best match of my career. People should check it out. It was like 35 minutes long.
Is that one that's on a DVD or is that on YouTube? Or?
Yes. It's available at smartmarkvideos.com.
Cheap plug. There you go.
Cheap plug.
Free advertisement for them.
Plug them.
That's right.
Be pumped about it.
They should call me and say, you know, they could advertise on girlwork.net.
Yes, there you go. You should
you know,
change the plugs.
there you go. I mean, they sell great independent matches, and you know, we're always very fair to independent wrestling promotions out there. So
yes, there you go. They should be bugging you.
So who runs Smart Mark?
Who runs it?
Yeah, you know. Well, whoever it is, give Gerwick.net a call, and we can hook up. We can talk, definitely. Already got the free plug there. So, and who are the other matches you're talking about?
So that one was at Anarchy Championship Wrestling, I should say.
Okay.
So people can actually find it. Last year, Anarchy Championship Wrestling, they have an annual tournament called Queen of Queens. And actually, this year's is this month. And I won it last year, and I really liked all of my matches that night.
Good.
I had three matches.
Well, besides Allison Danger, who else do you not like?
That's a long list of people.
Wow.
I don't like Serena Deeb. She's a big teabag.
No, what's the problem with her?
So we used to be buddies, right? We used to be friends. We toured in Europe together and stuff. We used to tag, like, we're at Shimmer Volume 40 now. We used to tag back on, like, Shimmer Volume 7. That's, like, forever ago.
So she went to WWE and got a big head.
She went to WWE, and then she comes back and just thinks that, like, everything's fine. You know what I mean? Like, she just comes back, and then all the fans are pumped to see her. But I've been there the whole time, and the fans think I'm a dick. Who's the dick? You know
there
what
you
I
go.
Mean?
There you go. Judge for yourself.
I think so.
Okay, who else is on that laundry list?
Who else is on this laundry list? Well, lots of people are. I mean, Mercedes Martinez. I have to wrestle her this weekend. Cheerleader
taking
Melissa.
Her out.
I have to
taking
wrestle her,
out.
Her this weekend.
Yep, taking those two out this weekend.
There you go. Rachel Summerlin. I wrestle her in Texas all the time.
Especially when she won that evening gowns match, right? That's
right.
Some heat there.
Here's my issue with that. Like, I was still in my dress, and she gory-bombed me through a cake and then took my dress off. But was the cake not a foreign object? Should that not have been a disqualification?
I don't know. Sometimes these gimmick matches, they don't set the rules clearly. You know, that's
what I'm saying. Like,
you know?
I feel like I didn't sign on for that when I signed
I've
on.
Not seen enough. I've not seen enough evening gown matches to understand all the rules.
I
think sometimes they make these rules up as they go along. You know, Vince Russo is always good at that. You know,
I watched a lot of evening gown matches leading up because I thought I need to go into this with a strategy.
And
there's
you end
not
up
a
in
lot
a
of
cake.
Consistency between them, I have to say.
Well, it probably varies from promotion to promotion. They probably do it different ways, right?
I guess so.
You know, nobody does it exactly the same way.
It was a really surreal experience. One day I spent like 2 hours watching just evening gown matches, which I think is like a testament to my dedication.
So is there a way for us to see you in your evening gown?
Well, you should probably buy the show, no?
There you go. There you go. Buy the show. Is that Smart Mark, too?
Yes. It
there
might not be out yet, though, because it was
cheap
just a couple of weeks
number
ago.
Cheap plug number two. There you go.
Yes.
Give me a call, Smart Mark.
They should be paying you for this.
My goodness.
I feel like the Ninja Turtles should pay me.
Well, you know, I got to give, you know, Dave Prazak's always good to us, you know, with Shimmer, and I've gotten Shimmer DVDs in the mail before, and I always enjoy them, you know, and see a variety of women. You see women that you don't get a chance to see on television, or sometimes you see, you know, former TNA knockouts or divas. Gosh, I don't know. You get kind of tired of hearing diva and knockouts. I mean, is it, you're like women's wrestlers, right? Or are you kind of used to being called a diva or a knockout? I don't know.
I've never really been called that much.
Okay.
But, I don't know. I guess it's weird that, like, we have separate names from the guys, you know?
Yeah.
You
know, I've asked girls, they're like, you know, we're not divas, we're women's wrestlers. And some people, are like, hey, they embrace it. Hey, if you're going to call us a diva, I'm a diva. Fine, you know, whatever. whatever you want to call us. So, you know.
Here's the one thing I do find weird. If I can, it's related, but it's a little bit of a side note.
Go for it.
I don't get why people need to differentiate between wrestling and women's wrestling. You know, like people are like, oh, are you a women's wrestling fan? Like, maybe they're just wrestling fans. Like, I would think the fact that the two wrestlers are obviously women would give away the fact that it's women's wrestling.
Well, that's, you would think so.
That was my really G-rated version of saying that, by the way.
If you're a woman and you wrestle, then you're probably a women's wrestler.
Right? Like, I don't get why women's wrestling is considered a separate entity from regular wrestling.
I think it's just because we're not as exposed to it, you know, because, you know, I give WWE credit. I mean, generally you will see a Divas match, say, on Raw each week, but, and I mean, in recent times, they've just been kind of poo-pooing it. I mean, they're doing that angle with Michael Cole where you'd interrupt a match in between and, you know, talk about these two to wrap it up, that we got to move on to something else. So, you know, and then, you know, sometimes the women's wrestlers we do see are not very good. They're really meant to be eye candy, and then you know, some people don't really like that, you know. So, you know, I think that's why some people separate the two. I mean, generally, you know, we're watching, what, 95% men's matches, and then, okay, here's a Divas match. Or on a pay-per-view, you might get one, you know, one a show, if that. Sometimes they don't have any women's matches on it. You know, actually going back to your period of, I think it was 2008 with TNA, you know, when they had the Knockouts division really, really booming with,
that was awesome.
Like, yeah, Gail Kim and Awesome Kong and some of the other things. I mean, they really had, that was one of the best periods I really remember for, you know, women's wrestling. And what we get today, I think, with both companies, I mean, no disrespect to the WWE Divas, but very few of them are really good workers. You know, maybe you disagree with that. I don't know, but you know, when I watch them, I mean,
no, I,
you know,
agree with you.
I mean, there's a few that aren't bad, but I mean, overall, I think most of them are out there for eye candy more than anything. You know, they're not doing.
One of the best workers they have is Natalia, I think.
Right. Yes, I agree.
But I don't think I've seen her have 5 matches.
Well, it's like who's she gonna work with?
That's true.
You know, that's the problem, is if you only have a few, then who are you going to work with?
They've
got
Beth. They have Beth and Gail, and they have Karma now, although I guess she's,
I mean, they use
it.
Gail sparingly. I mean, you very rarely ever see her. I mean, last we've seen her with Daniel Bryant for a while, I mean, that was about it. So, it's unfortunate, but, yeah, I mean, when you were talking about Alice in Danger, you know, her pregnancy, and then I saw the Karma too, because I'm sure you've crossed paths with Awesome Kong, aka Karma.
I have.
Yes.
And I was gonna say, when the Bella Twins came out last week, I was all pumped because I thought they were gonna try the same thing, and then they didn't try to attack her, and I was like, what a cop out. I tried to attack Alice in Danger.
What's been your experiences with Karma?
Well, one time in a battle royal, she gorilla pressed me all the way to the floor. I was not a fan of that experience with Karma.
I wouldn't think so.
The other time was actually last Father's Day. This was when my back was getting really bad. And my parents, I was wrestling her, and my parents came to the show because it was Father's Day. And apparently, in order for me to take my dad to dinner, he had to come to this show with me. And I remember the match was actually really good, but that was the day my back went from being really bad to me needing to take time off. And it wasn't – that sounds like Karma's like some sort of crippler. She's not necessarily, but that's when my – that was the day my back went bad, but I like the match, so that's good.
And you were going to beat her for Father's Day? Was that the plan?
That was the plan. I'd like to think if my back hadn't gone out so badly that I would have been successful in it. But it's really hard to lift Karma up when you only have like half a back.
Yeah, that might be a little bit of an issue there.
So that's my theory on that. So it didn't turn out too well, but
I know. Is she on the laundry list there of your least favorite wrestlers?
I'd say she cracks the top 20.
Top 20. Wow, that's quite a list you got there.
It is. It's much longer than, like, my list of people I don't mind.
So who else is on that list that would be, like, you know, former WWE or TNA people?
Who I don't
anybody?
Like.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You said Serena. You know, you talked
Serena.
About her. You said Kong.
Yes, Kong.
Karma.
Former WWE or TNA people?
Or even people that are currently, I mean, you know, like, did you ever cross paths with Beth Phoenix on the indie circuit?
I did
circuit?
Not, actually.
Okay.
I have never met Beth Phoenix. You know what? I've never met Mickie James either, which seems very strange.
Well, I bet you might run into her on the indie circuit.
You would think that I would have by now.
True.
But no.
Well, you know, attention promoters out there looking for unique
there
match.
There you go, first time
Portia
ever.
Perez versus Mickie James, first time ever. I could be a booker, too. I sit here and
you
book matches.
You could be a booker. I really feel like I could be a booker, but not actually.
Well, now you're a commentator.
I am a commentator. I've taken over the whole company.
It's a Portia World Order.
Exactly.
PWO. Maybe you should use that as a gimmick.
PWO?
PWO.
I wrestle for a company named PWO. Maybe I should just change what that stands for. Take that company over first.
There you go.
I like it.
You're the true PWO, Portia World Order.
I can.
Or Perez World Order, whichever you prefer.
I can get on board with that.
There you go. New T-shirts, new gimmick. Just sitting here talking to you, I got a new theme for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Portia World Order. Portia against Mickie James.
That could be a good match.
Yeah, you take her out, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you'd take her out easy.
I've never wrestled Tara before either, but that would be... I'd definitely take her out, too.
Tara, okay. The former Victoria, definitely.
You know who I have wrestled before is Madison Rain. Because we won the Shimmer Tag Team titles from her and her former tag partner.
Did you run into her in Ohio, or where'd you wrestle her at?
Well, I wrestled her many times in Ohio. I was one of her very first matches down in Ohio. And I wrestled her a few times down there. And then she and her tag team partner, Nevaeh, were the first ever Shimmer Tag Team champions. And we, Nicole Matthews and I, won the Shimmer Tag Team titles from them.
So those who don't compare to you and... Nicole, for sure.
No. Definitely not.
Not even close.
She actually dislocated my jaw the first time we tried to win the tag team titles from them.
Ouch.
I know.
But you got her back, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We won the titles the next time.
There you go. The ultimate insight is I take your title from you.
Exactly. Kick them right in the face.
Yeah, for somebody that never seen Shimmer, I mean, it is an all-women's promotion. You can actually check out the DVD. I just got a press release the other day from Shimmer coming up with some more TV tapings, or DVD tapings, I should say. For somebody who's never seen Shimmer, how would you describe that product?
Well, I'm on commentary, so it's 2.5 hours of me talking.
Awesome.
So if this sample is working for you, you should definitely pick up a DVD.
ShimmerWrestling.com, another cheap plug.
There you go, another cheap plug. Yes.
Dave Prazak, if you're listening out there, and I'm sure he probably is.
Maybe he is.
He probably is. You know, once I get this on Twitter and Facebook, social media out there, it'll get out there. You know it. I'm no junior heavyweight when it comes to interviews out there.
I was just trying to think of a way to make it where, like, every time we made a plug, we somehow got paid. We should have set that up before this interview.
You're right. Maybe we could do a part two. And
it's almost like a drinking game. But instead of taking a drink, people pay us.
Now, I like that. Now, if anybody out there is listening that can help us out, that would be great. Because, you know, we could sit here and just talk and you know, plug everything, and people could pay us for that. That would be tremendous.
I know. I think that's a good idea.
I mean, you know, we've been talking about almost an hour now, and we could be, you know, making people some money, and they could be making us some money, too.
I don't care about other people. I just want to make money.
Right. That's what it's all about.
Totally.
It's all about the dollar. Or the Canadian dollar.
So if Dave Prazak were going to pay us for every plug, which isn't a bad idea, Dave Prazak, if you're listening.
Right. Well, next time you see Dave Prazak, say, yeah, I might be back on girlwick.net, and if I come back on, you know, you maybe need to, you know, pony up some extra cash here, you know. We'll plug the shows, probably sell a couple DVDs on the side, and, you know, we'll make some money.
There you go.
It's all about the cash flow.
It is all about the cash flow.
The Canadian dollar or the American, which is better nowadays?
Ours is so much better now.
There you go.
It's disappointing.
See, back in the day, it used to be the American dollar.
I used to come home, and it was like I was rich, you know? I would come home from wrestling in the States, and I'd have so much more Canadian dollars.
You know what would aggravate me as a kid? I would get a Canadian quarter and be like, this piece of junk?
You know what's crazy?
And now it's probably worth more than the American quarter.
Have you ever noticed that like your quarters are thicker than ours?
I have noticed. They're definitely heavier.
Your vending machines will not take our quarters because they can't feel them. They're not big enough. So, like, that's really frustrating. Like, you're at toll booths. You know what I mean? And you're trying to throw in change. And, of course, all my change is mixed together. And, like, it just keeps going, like, nope, nope, nope. And you're like, and it's, like, 2 in the morning or something. You're like, seriously? Like, you're giving me all this slack over one Canadian quarter?
At 2 in the morning, don't they have, like, different rules?
My rule is usually to just not stop at the toll.
Well,
some of them have the gates.
Well, see, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can wink at somebody, but if they're not there, it's just a toll, then you can't really do that.
Right.
You say, hey, I'm Portia, you know, let me through. Portia rolled order here.
I used to know someone who would just claim to be a tourist and, like, have gone through the wrong thing and all that crap, and they always got away with it, like, every week. Every week.
Talk about teaming with Nicole Matthews as the tag team champions and... Tell everybody what Canadian ninjas are.
Okay. Where should I start? We started teaming quite a while ago.
Well, what does ninja stand for in Canadian ninjas?
Okay. Ninjas stands for... There's a lot of debate over this.
I like this, so go ahead.
Have you heard this before?
I may have, but I'll
There's a lot of debate over what it stands for because people have changed it.
I at least like one version of it.
It stands for National International Network of Jalapeno Awesomeness.
There you go.
That's what ninja stands for.
That's tremendous already.
Yeah, some people have changed it, but no.
What else could it be as awesome?
Exactly, nothing that's as awesome.
Jalapeno, I love jalapenos.
I know. I used to want to change it every time. Every time we were announced, I wanted it to stand for something different. But the J really messes you up. Because there's not that many words that start with a J.
No?
Well, probably not enough.
Try to come up with a word for X. That's difficult. That's challenging. There's not very many.
That's true. There
aren't I can think of a few more for J's, but I understand your point.
Yeah, because I wanted to do it every time, and Nicole was just like, no. And, so that's what Canadian Ninjas stands for. And we started teaming, I'm trying to think, I think it was 2008. It could have been 2007. It was quite a while ago. And we won the Shimmer Tag Team titles, like I said, from who is now Madison Rayne and Nevaeh. And we held them for almost 2 years. We just lost them in March.
Now, how did that happen?
I plan to formally protest. Maybe this could be the launch of my formal protest.
Could be.
So, Shimmer brought in like 62 new tag teams all at once. And we didn't know which one we were facing.
62?
62.
Wow.
We didn't know which one we were facing. So then all of a sudden, this team 3S, Misaki Ohada and Hiroyo Matsumoto, they're from Japan. They come and challenge us. And, like, they came knowing that we were the tag team champions. We had no idea who we'd be facing, right? So they ended up winning. But they only won because I accidentally super kicked Nicole Matthews in the face. Like, they didn't even beat her. It was like I accidentally beat her.
But there's no heat between you and Nicole for that, right?
No, we're good.
That's good.
We worked it out.
She's not on your laundry list yet.
No.
No. And she's Canadian, so, you know,
she is.
That's a bonus.
Vancouver.
And she likes
it. She's she's very excited about the hockey playoffs right now.
I was gonna say she probably likes, you know, Canadian beer, hockey, and Tim Hortons.
She loves Tim Hortons.
Mm.
Yeah, she.
So in some way, you guys are like polar opposites.
Yes, she is everything that I'm not, apparently.
Hmm.
She's also very tall, so I guess maybe we are exactly the opposite of each other.
How tall are you?
5'4".
5'4".
I like to round up.
Round up.
You know?
You always do that in wrestling. You always round up.
When there's like a decimal, and it's like you could round down or round up, I round up.
5'4". And what's Nicole go at?
I think like 5'8".
5'8". Well, okay.
Maybe 5'9".
So what do you do for training to stay in shape? And as you said, obviously you're a vegetarian. So what's your diet like?
I work out twice a day. I do weights in the morning, and I do cardio in the afternoon, and then I walk my dog at night. That's exercise too, I think.
That's cardio.
And
a little bit.
My diet is most of my protein comes from egg whites. I'm a really picky eater, so I actually have a really easy time eating the same thing all the time. Like, some people don't like dieting, but I've always eaten just the same couple foods anyways. So I eat lots of eggs and a little bit of Greek yogurt and some shakes and vegetables and stuff like that, you know. That's about it. And tea. We already touched on that.
What kind of dog do you have?
I have a golden retriever mixed with a Great Pyrenees.
There you go. That's a good dog.
She is a good dog.
What's her name?
Her name is Tessa.
Okay.
She's 11.
Wow. She's been in the family for a while.
Yes. We actually, until recently, had a second dog, and he was almost 16.
Now, this is going to be hard for you to answer because, you know, we were talking about your laundry list of those women that you don't like. You said there was at least top 20. So I don't know. I don't know how long the list is. It must be pretty expansive.
It covers most of the wrestling business.
It probably grows on a daily basis. But,
yeah.
And obviously you are on good terms with Nicole, but who are the other divas or women's wrestlers that you do get along with?
I think that's it.
That's it.
Well, I'm teaming with a girl named Calamity this weekend. I don't really know her very well, but I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. She's a very good wrestler.
Otherwise, you'll just have to carry her.
I think she'll be good.
Who, you know, we hear about divas, the indie girls with Shimmer and some of the other promotions. Who are some of the untapped talent out there? Some of the maybe up and coming women's wrestlers out there. I mean, obviously, besides yourself, obviously. Sensation.
A lot of the girls who are, like, really talented are being showcased places like Shimmer, you know? Like, we can talk, you know, like Sarah Del Rey, Daisy Hayes, Madison Eagles. They're very well known on the independents now. They,
right.
You know, and, like, through places like Chikara that really push women's wrestling. Some of the girls who are just coming in, or not, maybe not just coming in, but who aren't as well known, there's a really good crew of girls down in Texas who are very talented. Amanda Fox, Athena, Jessica James, and Rachel Summerlin, I suppose. There's a girl up here named Courtney Rush who seems to have a lot of potential. And I don't know if you know Christina Von Eerie. She seems like she's maybe going to...
I've seen the name in results and things. I'm not familiar with her, so
I don't really know her too well. I've never wrestled her. She seems like she's impressing some people lately, though. So we'll see.
We'll see where she goes. What is Portia Perez like when she's outside the wrestling ring?
When I'm outside the wrestling ring?
Yeah. What do you like to do away from this wacky professional wrestling business?
Well, I like to drink tea.
I think we established that.
Ninja Turtles action figures. No, in all seriousness, I really like to work out, and I don't know. I think I would probably surprise people at how boring I am, maybe, or how serious I am, probably. I mean, I'm in school, so that eats up most of my time.
What are you studying to be?
I'm majoring in accounting.
Awesome. So you're good with numbers.
Yes. I actually have a math scholarship. So
you want to be a CPA someday?
I'm probably going to do a post-grad, I think, but I don't want to be a CPA.
Be a professional wrestler.
That does not seem that interesting to me. Although it would be weird to be, like, applying for an accounting job and, like, my last job on my resume being professional wrestler.
So at this point in your career, what would you say the chances, give me a round number, accounting here. What do you say would your chances of being that someday we'll see you in WWE?
I don't know.
It's hard to say.
I'll give it like a 75% chance that I'll...
75%?
Not that I'll go there, but that I'll pursue going there.
Okay, I'm going to write this down. 75% chance.
I'm just throwing this out there. I don't know.
Nice round number, 75%.
You got to do that.
Not like 74% or 73 points. Because you round up.
I do round up.
So it could have been like 74.6 or something. You round up to 75.
I'm in advanced statistics right now. I know all about this.
Oh my gosh! I studied that back in the day, and boy, that can take up a lot of your time. I can tell you that studying that kind of stuff.
I spent like all day yesterday on an assignment, and at the end of the day, it was like 6 pages long.
Wow!
It took like 10 hours.
Now you said you could be a booker, and I was. One of the interviews you had just done, you were talking, I think they were asking you, like, who would you like to wrestle? And you came up with this fantasy situation where it was, I think you said you and Miguel Perez against, Jimmy and Sarah Del Rey?
Yes.
Tell me about this idea, because this idea...
That's why I should be a booker, so stuff like that happens.
Now, where did this idea, and talk about the concept of this idea. I like this idea.
Okay. My favorite tag team ever. This is how this came up in my mind. My favorite tag team ever is the Heavenly Bucks. They're incredible. If people don't know who they are, they should watch them.
Shame on you.
What's that?
Shame on if they don't know who they are.
I know, right? They're incredible.
If you don't know who the Heavenly Bodies are, you're not a real wrestler.
I remember when I was 6, they were on, like, Survivor Series. And, like, they had, like, a Smoky Mountain exhibition match.
Right.
And I've loved them since then.
Everybody knows who they are.
So... of course I knew who they were. So I used to tell Sarah Del Rey that was her dad. Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey.
Jimmy Del Rey is Sarah Del Rey's dad. But, you shouldn't say that because that might start an internet rumor or something. That's how these things start.
Yeah, maybe we should clarify that it's spelled differently.
It is spelled differently, isn't it?
It is spelled differently.
Yeah. Sarah is R-E-Y, and
yes.
The other one was R-A-Y.
R-A-Y.
There you go. So they're not related.
No.
As far as we
know. No, they're not. But I used to say that. But then, she had never seen them. And then she did one day. Like, we saw Royal Rumble 95, and I was like, Sarah, that's him. That's your dad. And she was like, what? Like, I don't know if you... Probably no one remembers Royal Rumble 95, but he was in it for like 2 seconds, right? So I was like, that's your dad. Like, and she's like, what? So now it's like, I really want her and Jimmy Del Rey to team because it would be awesome. To the point that I have Jimmy Del Rey's phone number just waiting for someone to let me book a show.
Have you discussed this idea with him?
With Jimmy Del Rey?
Yeah.
No, I've never met Jimmy Del Rey. Yet I have his phone
number. You got his number.
Another wrestler gave it to me.
There you go. You could tell him about this concept, and he might really like this.
Maybe.
You know, you never know.
I don't know if Sarah's on board with it or not. I don't think I've actually discussed it with Sarah. She's a little bit scary, so. So yeah, I want to do this because at first I was just like, oh, them against me and Miguel Perez. But then I was like, you know, when you're on a road trip by yourself, you think of awesome ideas. That's where you really come up with good stuff. So I thought you could do a whole tournament with people. With like I thought Michael P.S. Hayes and Daisy Hayes. Also,
there you go.
Differently, but
also, yeah, it's true.
I thought Madison and Billy T. Eagles.
I think you were saying, what was it, Melissa Anderson and...
And Arn Anderson.
There you go,
or
the Andersons.
Ole, or CW.
Or Ole.
They could be in the
right.
Survivor Series match with, like, all the Matthews or something.
Because we always knew that Ole and Arn were definitely brothers. Mm. So there you go.
So I thought that would be a good idea. I thought the real kicker would be, like, if you revealed that Mischief's last name was Johnson, and it was Mischief and Ahmed Johnson, that would be the best team, no?
Wow.
Right?
I don't know if I'd want to see Ahmed Johnson wrestle again, but if you say so.
I think it would be fantastic.
Never was a huge Ahmed Johnson fan, but I like the concept of this. Will this be like a tournament you come up with?
It's like a mixed tag tournament, or like
mixed
a father-daughter tournament, maybe.
As long as their last names are the same, or even if they're spelled differently.
Yeah, they have to be, because like Hayes and Hayes are definitely different. But
so Miguel would be your dad?
I guess.
Or would he be your brother?
I don't know. I don't think we need to specify relations here.
No, you're just related.
Yeah, just a
common chromosome tournament. We know how these relations work in wrestling, you know. This guy's my cousin, this guy's my brother, you know.
Totally.
You know, yeah.
I think we could have tons of them, though. You know, Jessica and B.G. James. Like, there's tons.
Jessica and B.G. James.
That would be a good one. Okay.
That would be interesting. Now, these are the kinds of things you come up with here on those international flights.
Yes. Well, this is usually when I'm driving by myself. International flights, I can, like, read during.
When you're not getting hit on at the airport.
Mm-hmm. Or having some dude telling me I'm going to hell. That was my last flight, like I said.
How do you respond to something like that?
Here's the crazy thing. This flight was at, like, 6 in the morning. And I don't know, I don't feel like I look that approachable in general, but like at 6 in the morning, there's no way I look approachable, right?
I don't know, I've never seen in the morning,
and,
so I don't know.
Exactly. I've never up at 6 in the morning, except for
I've never seen you. I never seen you at 2 a.m. at the toll
so,
booth, and I don't know.
So, this dude sits next to me, and we're taking off, and all of a sudden he turns to me, and this is how he opens. He's just like, if this plane crashes right now, where are you going to go when you die? Those are the first words this man speaks to me. And that was, like, the creepiest thing anyone has ever said to me. Like, if anything that supposed creepy wrestling fans say, that is the creepiest thing anyone's ever said to me. Because it really made it seem like he was about to crash that plane. Right?
Just to find out where you guys would go.
Yeah. And I just stared at him, like, because I was like, oh, man, this dude's nuts. And then he just went on this big spiel. I don't want to bash anyone's beliefs. He just went on this big spiel about his beliefs. He was a professional missionary.
So I take it he didn't convert you.
No. But
no.
I do still have some of his literature, if anyone would like to see it.
Are you going to read it, or are you going to trash it?
I read some of it. So he would stop talking to me. Because finally I picked up on the fact that, like, me telling him to stop was just making it worse, because this man's job is to convert people. So if I pretended he was maybe converting me, he would probably leave me alone.
I don't know, he might want your number and like check in with you and say, you know, how's it going, Portia? Are you a sister now?
No.
No.
But his stuff was real, like, heavy. Like, it was real, like you're going to burn for eternity, you know?
Nothing's worse when you get on a plane and you're not sure about the person sitting next to you and you're thinking, this is going to be a long flight.
That's, like, that's the weirdest one I've ever had. I did have, like, I was flying to St. Louis a couple of months ago, and the two people next to me, it was one of those things where there's, like, three seats to a row.
Yeah.
Started really, really loudly bashing gay people. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I was like, this is the most awkward thing ever. And then the dude turned to me and said something as if I was supposed to agree with him. And
did
I
you
thought,
give him an amen? Is that what he's looking for?
I
amen?
I felt the need to respond to him just so people would know that we weren't together, you know, that I wasn't part of their group. So sometimes crazy things happen on flights.
This is crazier than being hit on at the airport.
Yeah, sometimes flights, some crazy things happen.
So they're like, hey, Portia, where are you going? You know, we might be on the same flight. You know, maybe in the same city. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Get hit on more at the airport than at a wrestling show.
Not always.
Not always.
It's happened.
Well, tell us what's coming up in Portia's career.
What's coming up? I have NCW Femme Fatale in Montreal this weekend. I am teaming
awesome.
With Calamity against Mercedes Martinez and cheerleader Melissa. The next day, I am on a show for TCW in Syracuse, New York, that features an appearance by Terry Funk.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Go to that. That's this Sunday, so TCW.com for that. You should definitely pay me for that.
You definitely tell Terry we said hi. We love Terry.
I've never met Terry Funk. So.
Awesome guy.
Later this month is Anarchy Championship Wrestling's annual American Joshi, I like to call it Canadian Joshi, Queen of Queens tournament. I won it last year, so obviously winning it this year.
Defending your crown this year?
San Antonio, Texas, that one's in, on June 26th. That's always a big deal. This year, there's some debuts in the company. Christina Von Erie and Mia Yim are coming. Serena Deeb's in it. I'm, of course, in it. So people should check that out.
Now, how does Texas differ from Canada?
It's really hot, for starters.
Yeah?
Like except in December, it was freezing. I'm there almost every month. And the one building is outside, like there's no roof. They like the open-air buildings down in Texas. And in December this year, it actually got below freezing.
Wow.
And we were wrestling at nighttime, and it was a very bizarre experience.
So much for global warming, right? You know, I don't
definitely.
Know.
Not in Texas.
Not in Texas. No. Those global warming people have never been in Texas.
I've never been in Texas where the weather is moderate. It's always either, like, freezing or, like, way too hot.
But you've never seen a rattlesnake in Texas.
Never seen a rattlesnake.
That's good.
Never seen a scorpion. None of it. They do have some really big bugs down there, though.
I was just going to ask you, too, you know, with all these different promotions you work for, is any of those promoters on your laundry list?
There might be one or two.
One or two, yeah. There usually are.
There might be one or two.
I talked to enough indie people where, you know, it's like, this promoter, you're like, yeah, I don't know, you know. This guy pays well, but this guy, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, so, maybe. You know, there's some people who might owe me some money, but not too many. I've been pretty lucky in that respect.
That's good.
Maybe I'm just that frightening that people know not to.
You're very intimidating.
I like to
think
so.
Definitely.
This one action figure does have a little machine gun, so maybe people know.
So when you do the PWO, you need to do a Portia action figure too, just so you know.
Totally.
We got marketing ideas on this
now,
show.
Now, which member of the PWO will I be? Will I be Hogan?
Oh, to do a parody of NWO?
Yeah. I mean,
you could be a one-man operation, couldn't you?
You think
one
so?
Woman
well,
operation.
I think so, but then I was like...
Well, I guess you could throw Nicole in if you wanted to.
But then we need the third.
Well,
I mean, you can't just have two.
Who could be the third wheel? I don't. You don't like anybody besides you and Nicole, right?
Well, maybe you could be in it.
Hey, I like the idea.
There you go.
I could be like the Eric Bischoff type, you know?
I could see that. I don't know.
I could see it, too.
We need all the members, I think, now.
Well, I'm sure people listening to this interview, they'll be sending us ideas. And if you have any ideas for us, you know, PWO, advance the storylines here, we could make this happen.
I like this. I think someone should get me a shirt, a PWO shirt.
Somebody out there listening that makes shirts, PWO, send one to Portia, send one to me, and we'll get this going. Okay. And probably one to Nicole.
And one to Nicole.
There you go.
And maybe one to my dog. Maybe my dog could be one of them.
And then when you give those shirts out to your parents who don't have a shirt yet, you can give them the PWO shirt as well.
Totally.
Awesome. Real quickly, plug where people can find you and your official website.
Okay, PortiaPerez.com is my official website. It also has links to my Twitter and my MySpace. My Twitter is twitter.com/PPerezNinja. And that's about it, I think.
If people follow me on Gerwick, on the Twitter on Gerwick, /Gerwick, you can, we're linked together, so you can definitely, and I'll be plugging this, obviously, on my Twitter page, so you can definitely check that out. And, wow, Portia, this has been a lot of fun.
I know, I'm awesome.
I mean, like, you know, it must be it.
I think so.
Right?
And how can you not have fun when there's Ninja Turtle action figures involved?
And like I said, I think we need to do a part two. And get everybody out there that needs plugs, you know, to give us a little extra money on the side. We could like plug your event or your website or your whatever you're pushing out there. You know, or maybe by then we've had those PWO t-shirts out there as well.
There you go. I think it could be like a game of us trying to somehow segue into talking about random plugs. Right?
This has possibilities.
I think so.
There's a lot of possibilities.
This is why I should be a booker.
And just like the PWO has a lot of possibilities, too.
That definitely has a lot of possibilities. That's money.
So if any of those people out there want to see me at an indie show, you know,
PWO,
part of the show,
we're taking over.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, Portia. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.